Reading to you from the 8th chapter of Romans and with the first verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And you know, I'm a converted alcoholic and gave my heart to Christ over 62 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Friends, I have a special prayer request tonight. I have been really under the weather, and they don't know whether I've got cancer or not. We're waiting on the next report. But pray for me, will you? Hey, listen, I want to keep on keeping on until the Lord says, Cecil, that's it. Oh, friends, you don't know how I've enjoyed preaching and enjoyed the broadcasts and enjoyed sending tapes out. Because I tell you, friends, I'm not the greatest preacher, but I do love people, and I love Jesus. Listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me. I'm having a little trouble with my recorder here tonight. My earphones, I'm not hearing good. Let's see. There, I got it. There. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 11th chapter of John, and let's begin reading with the 33rd verse. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man, having kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, come to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. I've labeled this tonight, tears. Jesus wept, they say, is the shortest verse in the Bible. But, oh, dear friends, it speaks volumes. You know, every time I go to prison and preach to the women or the men, whichever it is, or the reform school, I ask the inmates, and I say, look it, have you ever went to your bed and woke up in the middle of the night and tears be streaming down your face? And you say, oh, they say, yeah, we have, we sure have. Well, you know why? Well, you're depressed, you're heartbroken, you're lonely, you're frustrated. Let me ask you, dear friends, is tears a sign of weakness? Absolutely not. Jesus wasn't a weakling. He was a son of God. But he wept because of Martha and Mary and the Jews. From the Old Testament, we see where God had seen the children of Israel's tears. The Egyptians had beat them and abused them unmercifully. But in his compassion, He called Moses to come lead his people to the promised land. Friends, listen, that is one of the most beautiful stories. Moses was raised in lap of luxury. He sure was. But when he saw his own people hurt and abused, he killed the man that was beating them. And of course, he took off out into the tules. And there he herded sheep for 40 long years. You say, Cecil, he must have been discouraged. Of course he was discouraged. He thought that was the end of life for him. He was going to spend the rest of his life herding sheep. That gives me an opportunity to tell you, I don't know what God has for your life. I don't know. I've said this the other day. When I was laying in that federal prison in Fairbanks, Alaska, back in 1955, I had no idea that someday God would deliver me from alcohol, save my soul, and send me out into the world to tell people about Jesus. Oh, what a Savior we have. You know, the last 30 days before I was saved, and I'm so ashamed to admit this, I stayed drunk every day. I could feel myself slipping into hell, and I was scared to death. You know, I'd be in a bar, and I'd be sitting beside a man or a woman. I'd say, hey, do you believe there's a God? Do you believe there's a heaven? Do you believe there's a hell? You know what they'd do? They'd throw me out of that bar. Well, then I'd go down into another bar, and I'd sit down, and I'd put a quarter in a jukebox, and then I'd cry. Seemingly, my life was over. Lost my business. We're living in a rat-infested apartment. I can't quit drinking. My wife and kids hated me. My brothers and sisters disowned me. Yes, I wept a lot. Getting back to our text, Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, had died and had been buried for 4 days. When they saw Jesus coming, they ran to him and they said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus answered, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said, I know he will arise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus said unto her, oh, I love this scripture. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Don't you understand what that means? Those of you and I who know Jesus, we will never die. Never, never die. He said, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Well, Martha ran to Jesus and fell down at his feet. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, Jesus said, where have you laid him? Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha said, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinketh. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God. Lazarus, come forth, loose him, and let him go. You say, Cecil, that is a beautiful story. You bet it's a beautiful story. And it's a true story. Let me ask you, has Jesus raised you from the dead? You say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, Ephesians 2:1, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses in sin. Even when we were dead in sin, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, friends, I remember that morning so vividly. I had come to the end of the road. I had no other place to turn. I'd been to preachers, I'd been to psychologists, psychiatrists. No one had the answer. I have never talked to a preacher that was more sure of the gospel than Reverend Tom Baird. Oh, I'm telling you, friends, you know, when I was telling my story to him, did you know he also, tears was running down his eyes? What a compassionate Savior. Friends, listen. When you see someone lost, there should be tears in your heart. You should really, really have tears in your heart. Well, the Bible tells us when we're quickened, it means we are made alive who were once were dead. How can you be quickened? Number one, realize that you are a sinner. Now, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, confess to him that you are sorry for your sins. Otherwise, that means repent. Number three, invite him into your heart and ask him to save you. You say, that is easy. Yes, it's easy. Salvation is free. But, oh, beloved, it's not cheap. The price paid for your salvation and mine. God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. Do you believe there are millions of people are going to heaven because some people believe they're going to heaven because they go to church. Some believe they've been baptized, they'll go to heaven. But Jesus made it very plain, but listen to this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The thief on the cross asked Jesus to remember him when he come in the kingdom. Now, beloved, listen to me. This man never attended church in his life. He never was baptized. He never took the Lord's Supper. But Jesus assured him that he would be with him in paradise. Why? Because a man was born again. See, our first birth is physical. Our second birth is spiritual. Now, friends, there's no way around this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Some might say, is there one true church? Beloved, that's no. The answer is no. There is no perfect church on this earth. When you're born again, you are born into the true church. The only members there are the names who written are in the Lamb Book of Life. This is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. Do you know that you're going to heaven? Did you hear that? This is written that you may know that you have been passed from death unto life. 1 John 5:13. See, I don't preach, I hope so, religion. I preach, I know so. Well, you know, I've asked people a lot of times, do you know where you're going when you die? And they say, well, I sure hope I'm going to heaven. My friends, I know I'm going to heaven. Is it because I'm a preacher? No. Is it because I'm good? No. It's because I said, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, come into my heart and save me. Friends, the reason I know that that is true, because God delivered me from the curse of alcohol that very same day. No, not 6 weeks later. I mean, God cured me of alcoholism and delivered me and set my foot on a solid rock. Well, you see, Paul went to Ephesus for the last time to tell the church goodbye. And we read in Acts 20:36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. Oh, friends, listen. Back in 1979, my wife and I and six other preachers and their wives flew to Sapporo, Japan for a 2-week revival. Well, I tell you, it was the most wonderful thing. This was the strangest thing. I was with several of the college students that went to the University of Sapporo, and we went out and hand out handbills for the revival. Not any of us, I couldn't speak Japanese, and they couldn't speak English. And yet we laughed and joked, and when they ate, we seemed to understand. See, Christ brings people together. Well, anyway, the last night of the revival, we met in this big, big church in downtown Sapporo, and their wives and my and the preachers were there. And then I was told, when I went there by the missionaries, that the Japanese are very strange, and they want to bow to you. No handshaking, no hugging, no nothing. But I want you to know that night at that goodbye for all of us, the people kept hugging us and crying. We were all crying. They begged us to come back. The very next day, we loaded up in buses to take us to the airport, and that whole entourage of all those Japanese got in their cars and drove 30, 40 miles out the airport to tell us goodbye again. They followed us to the airport, and they started hugging us and crying. Did you know that that plane was a half hour late to depart because of those dear people? But I guess I'll never forget what they said. That they invited this church that I held the revival at. They invited me to come back to Sapporo and be their pastor. I said, oh, my dear friends, that's one of the greatest honors. And I feel so honored. No, I can't come back to Japan. I have to work in America, and I had my radio broadcast. We read in Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killed the prophets, and stonest them which were sent unto me, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. See, Jesus was a man of many sorrows. His own chosen people were rejected. He even unto this day is rejected. Let me ask you, have you rejected Jesus? Listen, in the Garden of Gethsemane, even Jesus' wonderful disciples went to sleep as he prayed and he wept. He knew he was headed for the cross to die for the sin of the world, but no one cared. Friends, do you care that Jesus died for you? Say, Cecil, of course I care. But do you care enough that you're willing to tell the Lord that you're a sinner and ask him to save you? Well, I tell you, friends, the day my mother died, I was 13 years old. You know, I wept and I wept and I wept till nothing was in me. And I remember at the funeral, I wanted to die. See, I didn't know I would see my mother again because I wasn't a Christian. My mother was. If I'd have known that, I'm sure. Christians weep when their loved ones die. Of course they do. But we know we're going to see our loved ones again. As I said before, I got a mother and a dad. I got two brothers and two sisters there in heaven. And when I get to heaven, we're going to have a reunion. Oh, are we going to have a reunion? But you know what? I want to go up and I want to hug Jesus. And I want to kiss him. And I want to tell him, oh God, had it not been for you, I wouldn't be here today. Because you took me and you saved my soul and you forgave my many wicked sins and changed me completely. That's what he wants to do for you tonight. If you're not born again, if you're not sure where you're going to heaven, you have a pretty good possibility you're lost. Well, you say, Cecil, I don't know. What am I going to do? I don't go to church. I'm not talking about going to church, beloved. I'm talking about asking the Lord to forgive you and to come into your heart and save you. Now, if you got a little tugging at your heart tonight and you say, oh, Cecil, I do want to go to heaven and I do want my sins forgiven, then bow your head with me and I'll lead you into the most powerful prayer a man will ever pray. And you can only pray it once. You can pray it 100 times, but you can only pray it once. If you are born again, you're a changed person. And if you're ready to pray, here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've done to you and to my family and loved ones. Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Friend, if you prayed that, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I will not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Oh, friends, this is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And if you don't understand and you'd like to talk to me, you call me. If you can't afford it, you can't pay for the call, call me, collect. I'll pay for it. Because I really want to talk to you. I'll send you a book free. I'll send you a movie free. And you'll be able to help other alcoholics. Of course, this is not just for alcoholics. Anyway, give me a call.
Show.
dear friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Now, I want you to continue to pray for me and my health, and pray also for my quartet as we go to prison. We had such a wonderful service, my wife and I, last week. I think it was 15 ladies prayed to receive Christ. There was tears. This one little girl, I guess she looked like she's about 10 or 12. She was had to be 18 to be there, and she'd come up, and she threw her arm around her neck, and she just wept. She had been living a terrible life, but Jesus that day changed her. And I don't want to quit that kind of work, or the people, so you will pray for us, will you? I love you people, and you just keep on keeping on. And till this time next Sunday, I'm asking you to be a blessing to the Lord and be a blessing to those around you. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.